gives me hope too. And the one of the most powerful things that happens from doing this work is when you run into one of these young people later and they're a little bit older and they followed and pursued their passion.
Yeah, that's the best
Yeah.
right there.
And they sometimes you don't even recognize them because they look different. And they thank you for playing a role in that. That's real powerful.
Yeah, like I was barely making my light bill, man, when I was coming to McLaren, dog. And then to see you do your thing and you got a job and you're going after your goals. And actually, I've seen cats like that where, I actually hired him. I hired him to mentor the youth in my, and the way I met them was at a party with a blue rag on me, and I'm lit, you know what I mean? So to see youth, like people go from these situations and now they're mentoring folks and going after their dreams and being a positive light in their communities, it's the best, man.
Well, thank you guys very much for all your work for this great track. People should check out No Ceilings. Again, this is online. Look up Keys, Beats, Bars, and you can find this track, No Ceilings. And you've been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. And special thanks to our amazing guests and Prison Pipeline Collective member Karen James for post-production. Free them all.
Free them all, y'all.
Yee! No ceilings.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from Chasing Chimeras, the Lure of Deceptive Climate Solutions, a documentary directed by Barbara Bernstein about climate justice. Screening at Cinema 21 on September 24th at 7 p.m., the film will be followed by a panel discussion with the filmmaker. More info available at chasingchimeras.org.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. We wanted to continue our coverage of what is going on in the city of Chicago, and we talked to a number of people late last week, and we want to follow up. This time we want to talk to Chairman Fred Hampton of the Panther Cubs, and you've been on the road, man, but now you're back, and so it's good to see you. But what has been happening, because so much has transpired since we talked. I mean, you had the assassination of Charlie Kirk, you had the ramping up of rhetoric, you've had a promise of ICE agents not only going to Chicago but going to Memphis, so that's a city you're familiar with, and the what has been going on in Chicago has almost kind of been erased on the map. We did hear that somebody was killed by an ICE agent, but you got your shoulder to the grind, your feet to the ground. So what's been happening, Chairman Fred?
These are, and generally speaking, these are definitely reactionary times. Situations are moving a million miles a minute. Chicago is a microcosm of what's happening throughout the world. As you stated, I've been moving around, touching up from Seattle, Washington, to New York, to just get back in Chicago. Prior to me, my last trip out of Chicago about a week ago, it was pressing the discussion. It was looming that U.S. President Trump, that the National Guard were to be deployed to Chicago, in which there's been some back and forth about it. Again, it's been really reflective of the times. Again, been reactionary times. So that some people would say it was looming, it was supposed to happen. In fact, I said in another interview that kind of like the weather, like Chicago weather. You keep your T-shirt and your coat. You keep your T-shirt close and your coat close. So the last, as you just stated, the last reports were. I just want to say this also. There have been opposition. Has been everything out from people in the streets to various forces in the electoral political fields, from the mayor of Chicago to the governor of Illinois, challenging it. But again, in particular, the people, and a lot of challenges been put forward. So as a last word, that there's been a turnabout that the National Guard was not to be deployed to Chicago. That they're not going to Memphis, Tennessee, and that they may be doing a roundabout to come back. They attempt to come to Chicago another date. So as we speak, that's the last word, that it's not to come to Chicago, and the quote unquote justification that's, you know, that was supposed to be used to justify to bring the National Guard in was back and forth between one, but a usual, what's the word, like a catchphrase that always said, an emotional tug point that the system utilizes all the time, that of crime, stopping crime. So that was one of the things they were talking about at first, and then it switched back to, in regards to the whole discussion about the immigration, bringing the immigration issue. But again, I have to go to the heart of the question. As of now, there's no set date for National Guard. In fact, there's a turnabout about them even being deployed in Chicago.
Let me ask you this. One, when we did coverage of this in L.A. and we did coverage of this in D.C., in D.C. they said they were going after crime. But when I talk to people that live in places where quote unquote crime exists, they said ain't nobody been there. I mean, maybe somebody might come through and literally just do a talk, but there's been no change. They've been actually going after folks like yourself who are activists and who are involved with movements and trying to put some sort of association, some sort of nefarious association to movement activities more than it is somebody who is actually causing criminal disruption. So even with Chicago, when they supposedly were there, they were definitely in the outskirts, you know, in Cicero and those places. You didn't hear about them being on the infamous O Block or where you're at, you know, the Y 100s or on the West Side. It was like, well, I thought you were there to clean up the place. It seems like you have another agenda. Has that been the case of what you found?
Historically, opposition has been and remains to be anyone who believes that this system is interested in stopping crime. You believe that Don King wants to stop boxing. That's been, you know, again, it's an emotional hit word, whether you're talking about even, you know, they refer to as civilizing the savages, you know what I'm saying, or manifest destiny, you know, taking land from indigenous people, or just even fast forward to recent history, going, you know, places like Iraq for searching for weapons of mass destruction, you know. So these are trigger words, emotional trigger words that dismiss, have you attempt to dismiss logic and say, okay, well, let's go stop the crime. To justify, you know, say, you know, massive land grabs one way or another. So that's been a historical tactic utilized by the system of imperialism.
Chairman Fred, one of the things that when talking with people is that the incidence of crime in Chicago is like any other big city. You can always find something that is going wrong. But at the same time, I'm seeing 100,000 people out for a taste of Chicago. I'm seeing, you know, 100,000 people showing up for events like the house music event that you all have annually. And folks, you know, and it's still the number one tourist destination. So while we can definitely point out, well, this happened and that happened and something else happened, we also know that it's like, it's still a fun place and it's still a place that people go to. So I'm trying to understand how much of it is overhyped, you know, because there's an ecosystem that goes with this versus, you know, the realities. Like, are you afraid to leave your house? Because the people we had on last week, they work with the youth and everything, and they're like, nah, it's chill. In fact, they say if you really wanted to find it when it was off the chain, go back to the 90s. And I remember, you know, that's when things were crazy. But here it's, you know, it's like any other big city. How have you seen it?
You know, you often heard me say, you know, in regards to organizing the streets, that's our office. The streets, our work hours are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so we attempt to have our, you know, our ear to the ground, and we don't approach the community or our office in some sort of idealistic way or engage in romanticism. Contradictions, you know, exist, you know what I'm saying? And the reality is, as long as this system is played, you're going to always have, you know, contradictions, particularly that of crime. However, even the stats and facts, even the numbers according to a lot of the ruling class entities, they own numbers. They talk about the different places. It's not connected. The numbers not matching with the propaganda that's being put out. But this again, whatever the deal is, when the system has an agenda, the propaganda is something they put out to tap into the emotions. It can have no connection to any logic. You know, I say logic such as the fact is, and I'm hesitant to start naming some of the coalition for the forces we've been fortunate to work with, the Black Panther Party Cubs, who, I mean, on the ground, you know what I'm saying, just even, not just even those who are, you know, revolutionaries or progressive activists. It's like you have a different dynamic of artists out here, different people in the streets. And I mean, I've been to a number of events as of recent that, you know, they have not been engaged in the abstract talking about stop the violence. When I say abstract, a lot of times people say, oh, just stop the violence in some sort of in a disconnected way. It's been some real deal forces, you know what I'm saying, who've been really on the ground, I mean, actively engaged the community, you know what I'm saying, getting people involved. But let me be clear, a revolutionary is never satisfied. We never satisfied. However, it's been some climbs, some good events. That's, you know what I'm saying, we've been having on the streets on a continuous basis, not just doing when it's quote-unquote politically correct. And you didn't even just see, there was not just a reactionary response about people challenging the incorrect narrative about the crime happening in Chicago, but it's been the consistency that we've seen, you know what I'm saying, through different events and coalition work of different forces who previously not worked together, from the streets to the different religious institutions. There's been some good coalition work happening out here.
Chairman Fred Hampton is our guest this afternoon. One of the other things that they were trying to depict was Black folks in Chicago somehow having animosity towards folks who are quote unquote immigrants, right? And we've seen, you know, from talking to folks, that seems to be also something that's overhyped. Just looking at Mexican Independence, which is today when we're doing this interview, but also the big festival and parade that they had out over the weekend where thousands of people came out with no fear and no concern, or at least visibly concerned. How have you seen? Is there some sort of divide, or are people united from the work that you've been doing?
Again, contradictions exist. Mind you, in the city of Chicago, which was and remains to be, for all practical purposes, the most segregated city in the country. But mind you, this is the place where Chairman Fred Sr., that is, authored the Rainbow Coalition. It's the place where Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., we still have the Rainbow Coalition with such forces, with the Conor Manuel, with the natives, the indigenous people, and other forces we work with. So again, let me preface with this. Contradictions exist, but contrary to the narrative that's put out, it's kind of similar to, and kind of like in the same spirit or energy, when the narrative of black on black crime, you know, like as opposed to, like, in this situation with Kirk and the shooting in Utah, people were saying, well, wait a minute, you don't hear terms like white on white crime being put out, you know what I'm saying, in regards to that. So you can take certain things that there are contradictions, but it's, again, this is a city that was, for all practical purposes, was and remains to be the top segregated city, but is there's some contradiction, but again, not to the point, you know what I'm saying, and not to, you have different reactionary responses, but the ruling class, the system, they have a contradiction, you know what I'm saying, that as opposed to this image they put out, that, you know what I'm saying, that all white people sit together, or all people with the same political interests sit together. They are contradictions, but again, not to the point that the ruling class puts out to be, and we very clear that it's a climate where we have to heighten. We welcome these contradictions, and to be clear, the Black Panther Party said we still hold on to the differences amongst the people are reconcilable. How the differences to the people and the system are irreconcilable. We just came off the heels of a phenomenal August 30th of Chairman Fred Street Party. He's been 77 years old, in which culminated, you know what I'm saying, with the name of the street sign with Chairman Fred. We had not only people from different race and class lines, it was an energy there that people came from all walks of life across geographical borderlines. Our chapters, from the Black Panther Party Cubs, and came throughout the country. In fact, right there, Oakland, CRC, Field Marshal Torhar, Secretary Carroll, they came in. We had the free gas and free grocery giveaways building up throughout the Midwest. We stopped in Cleveland, Gary, and down, and so on and so forth. So it was It was some different street organizations that people say, well, they had differences. They came, you know what I'm saying? Different nationalities, they came. Even people comment about the electoral political people that were present who ran against each other. But they came there, they came in solidarity with respecting the birth of the chairman, Fred Hampton Senior. So I'm going to say this too, let me add this in. It's not ironically, but it's times such as this, these intense times, when you see coalition building that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, these are kind of like, so this is a climate that can be described as like Nixon on steroids. You look back during the U.S. President Nixon's era, where the government said when the Black Panther Party was in existence, there was a record low to what they call black-on-black crime. So again, it's terrible, but it's fine what's happening. It's a raw political intensity, but also it's a dynamic of a more of a brutal honesty and a dynamic of a coalition building, authentic coalition building.
Chairman Fred, let me ask you this. You have mentioned Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on the fallout around this? And I'm asking this when I see that, sure, we have a lot of people that have died. Some are known, some are not as known. You know, like Robert Redford just passed this morning, right? Will they have a moment of silence for him? Will the NFL, you know, pull out all the stops and tell us all to stand up and treat him like royalty? We had the murder of two politicians in Minneapolis. We didn't have a moment of silence for them. We have folks who are able to post up on YouTube the death of perceived enemies on a street level. And the social media sites will not only amplify that, but help make those animostic, if I can use that word, posts go viral, right? That's how we started to know about beefs that were taking place in different cities, because somebody would say something on social media and it would go viral, right? And there could be real life consequences to that. What do you think is behind all of a sudden treating somebody who said some very foul things, some very racist things, somebody who called George Floyd a scumbag and made fun of his daughter and the whole nine? What do you make of him being treated as a sacred cow where they're going on a witch hunt looking for people who are even just critical of him? What is that about? What's the larger picture behind that?
Magnifies the position that we've held and we still maintain that everything is political. Everything is political. And when we say political, we're not holding to the confines of electoral politics or partisan politics that are Democrat and Republican. But the base, the core of capitalism, you know what I'm saying? The core of capitalism was born out of white power. And I'd say we, the Black Panther Party Cubs, we are armed with a politic does not regulate us to just that of the question of race. In fact, we say, you know, we're not racist, we're realists. You know what I'm saying? Again, so we are with a part to recognize that racism has been a major historical tool utilized by the system. You know, so whether it be in the movie industry, the electoral political industry, whatever, and even down to where children grew up, and you know, if you white, you right. You know what I'm saying? That supersedes. When you go to court, whether your case legally is fraudulent or not, is articulated through the disproportionate sentencing with the crack cocaine sentences as opposed to the powder cocaine sentence. So you're dealing with something that's been inherent, that's been the core of this system all throughout the time. But it's times like these where you see the raw uncovered reality of U.S. imperialism, and it can be correlated to that of the class peace during the Kennedy era. Though John F. Kennedy was the president, and there were certain kinds of things that occurred. I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying, with the Attorney General Robert Kennedy with the wiretap on Dr. King, so on and so forth. However, you've seen a manifestation under the tenure of Richard Milhouse Nixon, the raw upfront, what he called a campaign law and order. you see a climate, you know what I'm saying? You see a climate, you know what I'm saying, with a present political climate where it's up front, you know, and not, cause a lot of times people try to avoid a duck and dodge or whisper about the race question. Or if they do it now, it's not in a reactionary way. You see now a political significance to the race question and say, no, this person's life is valuable. This is who we honor. It's not consistent across the board. It doesn't depend on what religion you are. It's not subjective to believe how much education you got. You know, it's point blank in the world, the question of race was something this system has historically utilized and still utilizes in its weaponry.
As we get ready to wrap up, where do you see things now in terms of what we should be doing? They may double back to Chicago. They're going to Memphis, a city that you're familiar with. What do you anticipate? And there's also all these proposed laws, you know, a law that says if you say something bad about the U.S., maybe we should take away your passport, those type of things. What do you think we should be doing to prepare moving forward?
It's an old axiom that goes something like, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. This should be a way of life. You know what I'm saying? We should internalize it. Not our terms, our way of, we deal with each other. You know, so again, be consistent. I mean, not wait till last minute to say, wait a minute. It's a blatant example of what the people, U.S. president says they're going to deploy the National Guard. Recognize the occupying army, you know what I'm saying? Before the state have to actually say it. Recognize propaganda through the music that they drop in our communities. No way to, you have to see it on Fox News. Recognize what is a concentration camp before the state start using those words. We have to, again, internalize the politics, internalize, you know what I'm saying, what does it mean to be colonized? You know what I'm saying? Draw correlations to what's happening throughout the world. We cannot afford tunnel vision. That's to say, okay, I just want to recognize what's happening in Russia, what's happening in Africa, you know what I'm saying, what's happening in Burkina Faso. That impacts, you in Chicago, Oakland, Detroit, so on and so forth. And utilize that philosophical tool of dialectical materialism. You know, so they recognize that things are constantly being born as they're constantly growing and dying and disintegrating. Make that correlation. And again, we cannot afford the luxury to engage in subjectivity. We have to be on with an objective politic.
Chairman Fred, we appreciate you taking time out. How can people follow you, get a hold of you?
Yes, indeed. I appreciate you. Revolution, love, respect to the people. I look forward to coming to Oakland this October, Black Panther Party Month. I'll be that way soon. Hit us on Official Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. on Instagram, Official Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. on Instagram. Website, SaintHamptonHouse.org, SaintHamptonHouse.org, but on Instagram, Official Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. On Instagram.
Chairman Fred, we appreciate you. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Hard Knock. Turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program. Turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man. Chris Juwan Kim. Yeah. Innovation. Stimulating ill conversation. Anything else is just imitation. Simulation. Step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio. Let's go. Big shout out to Nita and Davey D. Yeah, right. Feel me. Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kind of crazy though. Oakland, stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble, Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on, check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats, trying to eat to the belly from the steel crate beef. Say, please, maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with their great bread making a speech. Say, some peace to their lovers, I need.
Real Talk Radio.
You and I rocking with the best in the West.
Yes, Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast. Dance out.
This poem is for Kwame Beard. Rest in peace, King of Cass Corridor. Where are the people? Where are the one-way tickets? Who signed the death certificates? Where are the magicians, the madmen, the toothless, the smoothest, the poets? The corner store prophets, the bus stop historians, the traffic stoppers. Where are the people? Where are the blues? Under which pile of gravel? Where are they buried? Hurricane Cass Corridor. Where is the soil, the soul, the socks, the shoes? Where is the heroin? Where are the pills? Where are the women? Where are the thrills? Where is Cass Corridor? My student asks. Is it a building? Is it this way? Is it that way? Your school is sitting in it. I answer, you is it. The dogs are walking the people. The dogs are walking the people. The dogs have parks. The parks don't have children. Where are the people? Where are the people? The stepped over, the forgotten Holocaust, the fragile, the beautiful, the fast talkers, the backward walkers, the 3 a.m. stalkers. Where did they take them? When will they return? Where is the balance? Where is the money? Where are the schools? Where are the people? Where are the people? We all got Wi-Fi. Nobody getting high outside. Where are the beds? Where is they heads? Where are the recognizable street signs? Where is Joe Lewis? Where are the black people? My white neighbor asked me, Jessica, where are the black people? Where are the chosen people? Where are our hearts, our guitars? Where are our bass players? Kenny Mack, Anthony Tolson, rest in peace. Where are the anointed, the children of God? Where is the sage, the holy water? Where is the black imagination located? How much does it cost per square feet to rent there? Is there a rent-to-own your black imagination option? Where are the couples fighting in the alleys? Where are the purple flavor Mad Dog 2020 labels? Where are the needles? Where is the good time? Where did all these goddamn bike lanes come from?
Yeah, where are the people? Where are the people?
Where is the line to simply exist? Where is the painted line to live, to breathe? Where are the parks with swings? Where are the children supposed to live? Where are the children supposed to run? Where are the twilight teasers, the moonlight mythology makers? Where are the military vets? Where are our mentally ill? Where are the people? Where are the people? Where are the people? San Francisco, Oakland, Harlem, Detroit, Chicago, Fort Worth. Do you know? Do you know, huh? Have you seen them? Do they all die so New Detroit could live? Did they all die so New Detroit could live? Where's your conscience? Where's this nonsense coming from? Where is humanity? Where are the people? The one-way tickets. The message is still in the bottle. Where are the indigenous? Where are the salt mines? Where are the people? Where are the people? Where are the people? When you find them, please tell them I have an overpriced gentrified cheese and pork pizza with their names on it. Tell them I am writing for them so they won't disappear without a fight. Without a fight. Without a fight.
Without a fight. Where are the people? Where are the people? Where did they go? Where did they go? Where did they go? Where did my people go? Where did my people go? Where did my people go? The copper, the silver, and the gold. My people go within my
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. Once again, a good friend of ours, somebody who you know and love. We've had her on to help carry us through some tributes, but this time we get to celebrate some of the dynamic work that she's been doing to celebrate the birthday of her book. It is called Your Crown Shines. For Ketanji Brown Jackson and you, it is a book that is dedicated to black women, and Ketanji Brown, the Supreme Court Justice, being the inspiration. Jessica, first of all, welcome to the show. And you know, we know you for your poetry and and now you're acting, and we forget that you're also an author. So talk a little bit about this book.
This is my sixth book of poetry, but my very first children's book. So Your Crown Shines is an illustrated poem dedicated, inspired by the rise of Ketanji Brown Jackson and her journey to Supreme Court justice. But it's also just about, for me, inspiring young people and people in general. This is a book for all ages. It might lean towards young girls or young boys, but I really feel like it's for anyone who's once sees them, like if you want to be a farmer, if you want to ride a horse, or if there's something you want to do that's big and you want to be the next Kendrick Lamar or whatever, and you maybe you're it's something that you know, maybe you want to be a neurosurgeon and you don't know any black neurosurgeons or a scientist of some sort. It's a being able for especially for our babies to be able to see themselves in places where they've never seen themselves. And so you think about Ketanji Brown Jackson, like she never saw a black woman Supreme Court justice. So someone and people told her it wasn't possible, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is about, you know, those folks who are in our schools who tell our babies they're not possible, that your dreams cannot be realized, that you gotta learn a trade, that you can't go to college, or you gotta go to college, and there's no way you can win. Like all these people, everyone will tell you what you can't do. And I'm a mother of sons, right? And so my son King, you know, I'll never forget, there was a friend of our families at the time, who kind of stepped out of line. And when my son was asked by a teacher, you know, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to make music and want to be an artist. And they said, what's your backup plan, to my son? And I went off on them because I was like, because they told him he has to have a backup plan. And I was like, I am my son's backup plan. My black boy, our babies should be allowed to dream, use their imagination to make whatever they're passionate, whatever gives them joy, especially in this time, in this place that we live in. Our children should be allowed to, at the very least, to dream about what's possible. And so that's what Your Crown Shines is about. And Dara Coulter, who is a goddess of an illustrator, took my poem, my illustrated poem, and just turned it into beauty. Like her pages make me cry. It's a very, very special book. It's an illustrated poem. She took my poem. Dara and I just met at a Nikki Giovanni tribute in Virginia Tech a few weeks ago. We had never even met each other. She's like 6 feet tall and she's full of energy. And between the two of us, something's gonna blow up or something.
Let me ask you this. You talk about the type of messaging, mm-hmm. or lack of messaging that's delivered to kids as a post that's gone viral. It's passed down to a lot of groups. And it seems pretty reminiscent of many people's experiences just looking at the threads around it. Mm. And it really talks about a young kid, I think it might have been a girl, that went up to a guidance counselor and he basically told her, you know, you're not college material. You know, all this type of
evil. It's evil.
Yeah, evil.
It's abuse.
And it immediately reminded me of when I was at, you know, in high school and, you know, straight A's and was told that I could never make Cal. You know, that it was a waste of my time and to apply for South Bronx Community College.
With straight A's.
And this was something that was typical for a lot of folks. And, you know, the crazy thing is when I made Cal and, you know, I came back to, you know, visit classmates and everything. Then I was told when I ran into the counselor, it's like, you know, I made Cal, I'm living in California. He made the remark like, oh, wow, this affirmative action thing will make everybody in. So it's it was like a doubling down.
Wow.
But I bring this up because now that sort of attitude is almost enshrined because of the Trump administration, things they're taking away. So how important...
Yeah, using the word DEI, which is just a mass version of them taking away our civil rights, a mass version of racism, them saying they don't want black anything. They're trying to make it so that our black and brown babies and our white poor babies don't eat in the morning. This the evil that they're putting onto children now, just taking away basic needs. After school programs are gone, let alone telling them they can't be nothing. Like, you know, but this is the time now when our community, like I'm showing up for our kids. So I just left Newark, New Jersey. I left the Bronx. I'm in Oakland tomorrow. I'm showing up for our kids. These are not babies that I made, but they're our babies. And so community has to show up for this book. Show up for this book that's telling your kids. We have a page in the book that says, so when a high school counselor says your sights are set too high, and if you see the type layout is huge. We have your sights are set too high in huge letters. And the next page, a smaller little blonde girl in pigtails will be a younger Ketanji, says she is not discouraged. And we have the their culture has put the writings from different Ketanji Brown Jackson's real paperwork and different dissertation things that she's put it into the court, into law. She has her real papers and her real words from that underneath this illustration, because you know we have to have codes, right? And we can't say, we have to save ourselves. Like, I'm not expecting, and I haven't ever expected, my son King was, I raised him and educated my son, and the school I sent him to babysat him during the day, and sometimes he learned some things, but the best of his learning came from my home. So we really have to get back to not giving our babies, taking our babies back from these people that don't love our children and pouring into them in ways we've never done before. I did it with mine, but we have to pour into our community the same way. So I'm showing up for young girls and young boys, anyone who's telling them that they aren't who they are, because we know that they're the light. We understand that they are the power source. And so, yeah, I mean, it's very sad. I mean, books are being banned. You know, books like mine, I've seen the books that you've seen, the children's books that have been banned are ridiculous. These are books, yeah, that only celebrate goodness and culture and the best of who we are. And children's books, you know, it's like, what are you supposed to, so black and brown children's and red children and yellow, are we supposed to walk around like we don't mean anything, that we've given nothing to the culture, to American culture, when we know the only thing that's great about American culture is us. We're the best thing that ever happened to this country. And we know this, and our children need to know that. And yeah, so this is more than that, a typical children's book tour. Like, and so I'm gonna be in Oakland, the Oakland Public Conservatory music space with my sister Angela Wellman, who has Black Girls Play at 9:30 in the morning tomorrow, and it's open. So we're gonna be there with her girls, but anyone can come. And I'm gonna read the book 20 times in a row if I have to, whoever shows up. But we're going to LA to this Black owned coffee spot, and we're going to be doing workshops with the kids. We're going to be writing, I'm going to have the young people writing about how does your crown shine? Why? Well, tell me, and it's not a physical crown, even though I have these really cute gold crowns that I've been putting on all the kids and I've been wearing. It's really about wearing your crown and knowing who you are, even when you're not wearing it. We see you wearing it even when you're not wearing it. Like, that's the truth, is that I walk around at this point in my life with a certain disposition about myself. I'm very proud when I walk in a room. I take up space in first class on Delta. They know I'm there. They see me. I'm dressed better than all of them. This white boy came up to me a couple of days ago, and he couldn't help himself, LaGuardia. He said, hey, I just have to let you know you're the best dressed person in the whole airport. I said, I know, but thank you for acknowledging. Thank you, baby. You know, he was overwhelmed. So, you know, that's just a silly story, just to say that I want our babies to walk in their power earlier. I want us to, right. Yeah, not just my baby, you know, Davey, not just your babies, because our kids are going to get something different. But the ones that don't have us in their household need encouragement. And so that's what this book, God willing, will do.
That's the voice of Jessica Caremore, poet, actress, and and author. Yeah. You're going to be at 9:30 in the morning tomorrow, you said?
9:30 in the morning, yeah. At Angela Wellman runs this great program called Black Girls Play. But we're going to be at the Oakland Public Conservatory of Music in Oakland, California. So it's the Oakland Public Conservatory of Music. I'm sure y'all know the space already.
Right. It's interesting when we were just talking, because you are from Detroit. Mm-hmm. The situation that I was describing, the thing that went viral, actually comes out of your state, Canton, Michigan.
I believe it. That's a real story. I know that, sister. I've contacted the NAACP on behalf of her son. I'm talking to that sister. We are in conversation with that teacher came out in the hallway and tried to humiliate that young man.
Yeah, said he was a disappointment. He didn't even know him. And I think the point
not
that
even
I'm
one of his
at,
teachers, Davey.
Not even one of his teachers. Yeah. The point is that is concerted attacks, you know, to kind of disrupt people's psyche. Mm-hmm. you know, give them verbal trauma, if you will.
Yeah.
And to...
It's psychological trauma. It's that,
psychological.
That young man's not going to... And I asked the mama, because I was like, is that your baby? I wasn't sure she was... You know, people post things all the time. And it's not their... She said, no, that's my baby. So she said, Kat, no, we're going to meet this young man. That we have some work to do around him. And we have people already in place. Like, it's been activated in Detroit. We're not playing. Because I said that, you know, New Era Detroit... who I love in Detroit, or 100 Black men, like, we need to show up to the school and make sure that this teacher is being reprimanded for what he did to this young man.
So. Yeah, because they didn't fire him or anything like that.
Of course not.
Yeah, they kept him there. Let me ask you this. The book is inspired by Ketanji Jackson Brown.
Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Oh, did I mixed it up. Thank you. Ketanji Brown Jackson. Mm-hmm. Has she seen the book? Have you talked to her?
I have not talked to her. I haven't met her yet, but I plan to. I do have people who are hoping to get the book in her hands. And I do want to also shout out Oprah Winfrey, because it is because of Oprah in many ways that this book, and Winning with Black Women and Jataka Edie, who helped me make this book become in demand. And so I was on the Winning with Black Women group, and many of you know the group now. We were a private group that met every Sunday, a lot of times during the pandemic. These are politicians, artists, activists, all of it, in community with all Black women. And so Jataka Edie, Ketanji Brown Jackson, had won the Supreme Court Justice space and earned it. And Jataka said, well, hey, we're going to celebrate and win with Black women on Sunday. She called me on a Friday, said, can you write a poem? I was like, yes. Yeah. So I looked at the run of show, like, I, you know, looking at it, and it said, opening prayer, Jessica Kilmore poem, and then Oprah Winfrey. And so I didn't know if Oprah would actually see the poem or hear the poem. And I didn't think about it much. I just did what I did. I went on and did my poem. And then Oprah got on the call right after I was done and said, Jessica, okay, I need someone to send me that poem right now. And then she did something that she didn't have to do. She asked permission to share. And when with Black women, we don't share on Facebook. We don't share on Instagram. It's private. It's not a social media thing.
Right.
She shared it on Oprah Daily, shared it. She put it on her Facebook page. She quoted her favorite lines. I cried. It was really incredible. And I got several offers from different book publishers for the poem and the book right afterwards. And so I stay with HarperKids. Shout out to HarperKids. I'm already signed to HarperCollins proper. And HarperKids has been lovely. And my editor, Luana, is wonderful. And I'm excited that they put me on, because a lot of times you don't even get put on a tour. And I really fought to be on tour, because I know I'm Detroit. I haven't even done my release in Detroit. I just started in New York. And I'm here in San Francisco and L.A. And I'm going to Boston when I leave L.A. because I want to touch kids in other spaces. I can get to my Detroit babies, you know. But we are global people. We are national people. And so I just, you know, and I'm grateful that they said OK and they found some plane tickets so I could be here in the Bay Area with y'all. And I love Oakland. Oakland like Detroit, man, just sunnier, you know?
Right, right.
Come on.
We've always talked about the kinship between the two cities.
Oh, we love it.
As we get ready to let you go, a couple of things. You know, a lot of people don't know you have your own publishing company, and you put out books. We saw Saul Williams in New York the other day, and that was like one of the first people you put out.
Yeah. The Seventh Octave, that was his first book. It came out in 1998. And they all just saw him in Sinners playing the preacher, which is awesome.
Yeah, he killed it in New York when we saw him. But with that being said, was it a change of pace to do a children's book based on what you've done in the past?
Well, the only difference with this, the Ketanji Brown Jackson, the book is a poem. It's an illustrated poem. So not really. What's really exciting is that I have Dare Coulter, who is a Coretta Scott Award-winning visual artist, who took my poem and made it into a visual masterpiece. And that's the difference. The difference is also the audience. I am so excited. I'm on fumes and I am running on the energy of I get to be in front of kids. I've been performing like Saul for 30 years in front of grown-ups all over the world. And I have always wanted to get into the children's book market. I've been really inspired like Kwame Alexander and Jason Reynolds, and watching my, these are my brothers. I've known Kwame since we were both beginning. And Jason Reynolds told me years ago that I was one of his inspirations to writing poetry. And I mean, he's a beast in the market of young adult in YA. And so that's a market I haven't cracked. And so I'm writing a YA novel in verse now called Our House in the Middle of the Street. You might be familiar with that song. And so that's my YA novel. So yeah, it's nice to be this artist in this point in my career entering a new space. So that's right. What's really exciting is that, I mean, I called the Oakland Museum and I told them, I'm coming back, y'all. So I'm doing this thing tomorrow, but I already reached out to the Oakland Museum. I know it's going to happen in the fall, but I want to do one of their first Fridays or whatever they do, first Saturdays, whatever their event is, where people come out. I was like, just take me to the kids and where the kids are so I can do this book for them. Because I'm watching the eyes light up. I'm watching them light up with the book, with the poem. So watching the poem in conversation with Dare's work is a different experience for me. So, right. Yeah.
Well, one of my favorite pictures in the book, since you talked about Dare Coulter, the artist, and if people see it, it's a picture of a young girl, and she's sitting on a bunch of books, and on the books,
yes,
all these names, Harriet Tubman, yes, you know, Angela Davis, Sojourner, Fannie Lou Hamer, Serena, Michelle, you know, yes. Yes. Betty, your yes. homegirl, Betty. Betty.
Yes, Betty. You know, I put Betty Davis in there.
Betty Davis, yeah. Oprah, Viola. So it's a very...
Mary McLeod Bethune. Let's go. Yes.
You know, Sonia Sanchez. So it's a very powerful picture, and maybe that should be something that... get sold just by itself, you know.
Well, I'm working on getting someone to commission there to do a large scale mural in Detroit of one of these pages. I think this is going to be the one.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorites.
That's one of the things, and then it has your words on there.
Yeah.
You know, who else but us to celebrate, to reach back for you the same way Alice Walker came from Zora.
Now, that's not no regular poetry. You know, that's not regular children's book talking like that. You know what I'm saying? What they know about that? And you know, I threw in some rock and roll. You know,
okay.
Somebody told Rosetta Tharpe she meant not, you know, that black girls don't play electric guitar. You know,
right.
I put a little sprinkle. You know,
so you know they got to level up in order to understand it. Like, take it.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's a book where they'll have to maybe look up a couple people's names. But that's how we learn. That's what books are for. You know, it's a launching pad to read more. It's not just about the one book. It's about, let's go read something else and let me learn something else. My son is teaching me about revolutionary writers that I don't know about. That I know, who is that? I'm reading Thomas Sankara. I was like, okay, King. You know, okay, 18-year-old, teach me. I'm talking to him about Dr. Clark. We're exchanging. You know, philosophies and different people now. So that's what the power of books are, very important. And that's why they want to ban them. And that's why they want to bury us. And but we can't allow them to. And being self-sufficient at this time, I'm just really grateful that I'm self-sufficient. And then I have been connected with like-minded people who want to move culture forward enough so I can still make a living in this time of war. Because it's a war against culture. I was just with Dave Chappelle in New York last few days. I was doing some intimate shows, and he was saying that's what the war. Yeah, we got people, they're dropping bombs on Iran for no reason, but they're also, you know, destroying culture, you know, and that's what getting rid of black people is, destroying American culture at its core.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
Well, it's definitely a culture war going on, and I'm glad that you were able to drop a bomb of your own on this.
That's right. I love you so much, Davey D. I appreciate you so much. You have no idea. Thank you for support.
We appreciate you. Jessica Care Moore, your crown shines for Ketanji Brown Jackson. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you in a bit. We'll take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Ain't it beautiful? When we smile, it's a musical. An act of revolution, and the stage is a human one. Some people spend their lives wearing the costume when the script is Sanskrit in the palms of our worship. The same hands we go to work with, the same hands we go to work with. Put the real work in. Meditation and stillness, so your focus is the realest. Screaming from the outskirts when your voice is the clearest. Wishing for answers inside of elections when justice was just born right inside your reflection. Here we stand, survivors of Holocaust, oceans of bodies bound and lost. Our dreams swam across, found the will to still live at all costs. The true mastery is self, honoring tears, loving the mirror beyond your greatest fears. A small army traveling beneath your skin, walking alone if you need to, the revolution's within. Our bodies birth suns, wrapped around Earth's axis, spinning the way people do when change is necessary action. Our ancestors saw us in the future, in perfect, perfect beams of light, a sacred prophecy of what's possible. Be still and still the night. We are centuries of grace, the internal uprising, the creation of race. The spiritual warfare is the one you can win. An army of angels begin where we end. We beautiful broken, warrior ready in soulhood, the wish and the wish you would. The daughter of drums, spangled banners, we are the tearing down, a falling together, our cosmos, our scars, a subtle peace. Ain't it a miracle to simply feel safe? Asada, Muhammad, Jesus, Harriet, Fanny, Martin.
Baby, pray these words may hug you, baby. Look into the mirror, say I love you daily. Remember your light when the world seems shady. You born with it, adorned with it. A gift to the world, go on, give it. Fearlessly made, no need to be afraid. Angels are with you, the path is laid. Waiting thoughts of you being a star. Truly you'll shine by seeing who you are. Reflections of you, reflections of me. Your beauty, more than any eyes can see. Precious jewel you are, don't forget who and whose you are. Made in its likeness, yeah, you different, uniquely specific, young and gifted. You see that in another, then you gotta uplift it. Your hair, your skin, the way the sun kissed it. Mystical mama, beautiful boy, your life is a story for you to enjoy. Wherever you stand, stand in you, stand in love, stand in joy, stand and do everything that you ever dreamed you do. Your voice is yours, it'll sing to you.
Ding ding moing, swirna na no you die.
Hard knock. Hard knock.
Radio.
Hard knock. Hard knock.
Peace. It's Gift of Gab. I'm the mighty Chief XL, and we are Blackalicious. And who that
check this out. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one, and you are.
This is Sarah Jones, and you're listening to Hard Knock Radio 94.1.
This is M1 from Dead Prez right here.
You know, this is Boots Riley from
De La Soul, y'all. We're chilling on Hard Knock.
Hard Knock. Hard Knock. Hard
Knock.
Hey, hey, ho, 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 ho. Hard Knock Radio.
East, west, north, radio, south, man. Conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous. Speaking to the thugs, one love. We know where y'all at. Pop, Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping Hard Knock Radio, Brown Buffalo. All up in your stereo. Yo, and to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, rapping to the hard style.
Speaking truth to power, revolution for the people, beating back fear, wiping away tears. Hard knock radio for the people. Politics and culture rule the day. Hard knock rocking on your radio. Hard knock rocking on your radio. Yeah,
hard knock rocking on your radio. Power to the people. Tales of struggle whisper through the night. Whisper through the night.
Dissecting the system, exposing the lies, empowering the masses, making spirits rise. Hard knock rocking on your radio.
Hard knock rocking on your radio. Yeah,
hard knock rocking on your radio. Power to the people. Revolutionary Radio.
Mm-hmm. listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune into KBOO every third Saturday at 10 p.m. for Query. Dive into the spectrum of queer music as we explore artists across time and genre.
She's on my mind every hour of every day.
That's Query